This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, we're going all the way to Australia to introduce our guest. He'll join us in a moment, Tino Pezzamenti. But I was mentioning to him before we got started that in my search for finding some really, really good television, because all the American TV series ended early, a couple episodes early because of the pandemic, I've discovered all sorts of interesting programs like Line of Duty, a UK police drama about what they call the anti-corruption unit. That's like internal affairs in the U.S. And it's so on the edge that even the police in the U.K. will not officially endorse the show. So they can't get like an official advisor. It has to be done unofficially. It's a really good show. Also from Australia, there's a show, a period piece taking place in Melbourne in the 1920s called Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries, which I recommend to anybody, no matter where you live. It's just a really, really wonderful show. Tino Pezzamenti, our guest on the Paracast. They're fellow country people of yours. You say you like that show.
Yes, I like those shows because of their, I don't want to use the word simplicity, but it's a show that does away with a lot of the drama that you see on TV nowadays. I correlate the same to researching the subject that we're about to talk about. You can do it two ways. You can give a story and try to bring it across to the populace. Then you can do it as it is with just the facts and as little sensationalism as you can. Or you can go out over the top. And I like that show because it is simplistic in a way. And it's about the actual subject and the people in the show rather than things that happen around and fireworks and all the over-the-top stuff that we get today.
It's a straight-ahead mystery story. And but you look at it in terms of simplicity. Imagine taking a famous detective story from the 30s and 40s, like a Richard Diamond or a Sam Spade, and having that person become a woman in the 1920s in Australia, and that's Miss Fisher.
And that would have been very tough for her back in those days.
And she manages to do it. I mean, it's really good. Should I recommend it? The things we're going to talk about today will be about UFOs very much because Tino Pezzamenti is prominent in those circles in Australia. But unfortunately, we have to talk a little bit about what's happening in the American UFO field. And I remember, this goes back a couple of decades ago, when the late Art Bell, when he was still doing his original Coast to Coast, referred to the UFO field as toxic. Okay? And sometimes you see stuff like that. And we'll go back a little bit in time, and then we'll cover the current situation. And I would like our guests to talk about it a little bit, and Randall will have things to say. So, there's an article from Newsweek from 2018. What if aliens meant racists? MUFON resignations highlight internal divisions in UFO sightings organizations. And, of course, they recited the forced resignation of John Ventra. He was MUFON state director for Pennsylvania because he had posted lots of racist stuff online. Really, really wicked stuff. Or at least supposedly he disappeared, but he still appears to be active, and apparently he's still active with MUFON. I can't figure that out, but that's the story. Now, to preface this in terms of racist comments, we have Tucker Carlson, who has been very positive towards covering UFOs in recent years. His top writer, Blake Neff, was secretly posting racist and sexist material in online form. He's gone and Tucker Carlson has taken a fishing trip, which the way they do it over at Fox News, that's an enforced fishing trip. But let's get to the really nasty stuff that's going on here. And I thought of Jeffrey Epstein when I read about this. And this is an article also from Newsweek by the same writer. On July 3rd, Mutual UFO Network Executive Director Jan Harzan was arrested in Newport Beach, California, for allegedly soliciting sexual activity from a detective who was posing online as a 13-year-old girl. By the way, that's a fairly common way they do it to find child predators. In response, the UFO organization announced that Harzan would be permanently removed from his leadership position. Now, I do not care about his guilt or innocence in the sense of how it relates to the UFO field. If he is guilty, he should fry, or at least get a severe sentence, but we accept the fact that a person is innocent until proven guilty in the U.S. But what they did is the board restored the previous director, instead of MUFON, David McDonald. What does David McDonald do? Well, he owns a flight school that also staged flights, mile-high flights, where people fly an airplane and do adult activities on the plane. And that's something we've mentioned on the Paracast before. So I don't know if they're going to look at the approach in terms of morality. I kind of think that's a strange way of doing it. I don't know whether MUFON has a future anymore after all this. What's your perception about the goings-on, Tino, in American ufology? Have you been following it?
Some of it I have. And I look at it this way. When our group meets, we meet with the public once a month. We have public meetings. And sometimes you sit back, and while the speakers are up there talking, sometimes they're not the most liveliest of speakers. So you drift off into Thoughtland. One of the things that amazes me is that regardless of which group you are with, whether it's MUFON or any other group, our group, it is a group of individuals that have come together with a common thing in mind, and that is the subject of UFOs. Now, amongst that group, like every other part of society, you will have your, if you've got a group, say, of 50 people, you'll have your alcoholic, the class clown, someone who doesn't care too much for women, someone who doesn't care too much for men. That's unfortunately human beings. And there's no filter that stops people from entering groups and organizations. Like, you can have a racist Boy Scout movement, someone in the Boy Scouts. You can have the priesthood where people don't do the right thing. Wherever you look in society, we have these people that, I don't know, don't seem to have a filter, even if they've got their own ideas and their own ways. Now, if you want to go and organize a mile high club, all right, well, maybe you do that in your own way, but you certainly don't, you know, go public with it. I don't know. But I'm a big believer that, and this gets me offside with a lot of people, that we as a planet are not ready for contact with other alien species. I think we are far from ready. I think that we have to get our own act together before we can invite people to our home, this planet. And it would be wrong to do so when, first of all, there is no leader. Secondly, we are made up of fractions of fragmented religions, belief systems, cultures. When they do come to visit us, they'll think, so what's your belief in this? And I'll tell them. Then they'll ask the person next to me, have a completely different story. So going back to things, organizations like MUFON, I don't know. In our groups, we're all volunteers. We're happy to get anyone to give us a hand. More professional groups, of course, may be different. But, what is that we are to present to these aliens? How are we going to present ourselves? Are we going to present ourselves as we are one planet, but this color is better than that color? So they have no place in an organization that represents humanity.
We'll continue. We got to do our break. Tino Pezzamenti joining us this week with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Attention listeners interested in food supplies. If you've ever wanted to create an endless, crash-proof stockpile of survival food and do it with very little money, pay close attention. This could be a game changer. Because the cost-effective do-it-yourself secrets survival food companies won't tell you about are available. Learn all about them at foodshortageusa.com. Check this out. The economic disruption that's occurred in the last 6 months is going to have consequences. Big ones, especially when it comes to food. The availability of food, as well as the inevitable rising prices, which always get passed on to the consumer. The fact is, hyperinflation has huge implications for food and food prices. Smart listeners, you should begin bracing for impact. The good news? There's still time to learn how to get all your garden vegetables into your pantry, stored away, just in case. Learn how at foodshortageusa.com. That's foodshortageusa.com.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're talking to Tino Pezzamenti, who's pointing out here an obvious problem that if we hope to make contact with people from other planets, that maybe we should present a proper image of Earth, because the image of Earth right now is none too pleasant, not just because we have people doing immoral things, Not that's just because we have people murdering other people. It is that we still think, unlike the Star Trek universe of the 23rd century, that people of different colors, different genders, alternative lifestyles are somehow to be shunned. And what kind of image do we present for aliens this way? So we're not ready for alien visitation, which may explain, you know, why there hasn't been real contact. I mean, people do have experiences that may indicate possible contact, but there's no mass contact because humans aren't even ready, and maybe they should look for a more intelligent species on our planet. What do you think?
Well, yes, or even in Star Trek, there's a line in the sand before an alien species will make contact with you, and that's, I think in that case, is you have to have warp drive as a measuring stick to say, okay, they should be ready by now. So we don't have that. So if they come here and speak to us individually, they'll leave more confused than when they arrived. But don't get me wrong. I think that we are still living. 2020 seems to make a liar out of me, as it does a lot of people. But I still believe that we are living in the best possible time to be on this planet. And I had a lady confronted me about that. She said, oh, that's silly. I want to be taken off this planet. I want to go away. And I said, well, especially you as a female, I said, just for being in this meeting, there was a time when we would be probably burnt to the stake because we're practicing sorcery and we are going against the Bible and as a woman, would you rather live in the 1500s or 1600s? You go to university. We've got everything going for us at the moment, everything. Sure, there are a few hiccups, especially you guys are experiencing quite a bit of that on the streets of the United States, in the United States at the moment. But just putting that aside for now, this is still the best time to live on this planet, I believe. But we are evolving, right? And we are exactly where we should be at this time of our evolution. It's funny with technology, you know, it makes you think more than it would, say, someone in the 1800s. People used to just generally get on with their lives the best way they could, and that was the end of it. The difference between people back then and, say, after the Industrial Revolution is that we are learning to think beyond our means, and that's great. But with it, you can get carried away, and we want to have things that are not possible yet, and we can get frustrated with that. I would love to travel to a planet where there's peace, the Garden of Eden. It's a wonderful place. And our mind says, if only they could develop an engine, they could. But at this time, it's not possible. And so we think, why am I stuck on this planet? You know, and that's unfortunate. But again, I think that we are still living in the best possible period that you know, compared to the rest of history that we've had on this planet. But we need to be patient, and I think we need to sort of reunite and say, get back to, it's like a sporting team that's going through a bad patch. You need to regroup, rethink ourselves, and take off in maybe a slightly different direction. Let's bring technology to everybody as fast as we can. Let's bring medical cures. There are medical cures, and there are medicines out there that to help people, but some people can't afford it. But the cure is out there. But, you know, and that sounds ridiculous to me. So I think we need to fix up all these things. And then slowly, we can unite bit by bit, slowly, but, you know, slowly. And then say, get into a position, well, let's concentrate, instead of wars, let's concentrate on space exploration, where we all need to get together and work on projects together. And I think then we'll start seeing the humanity going into a slightly different direction, but one that would sort of fit in with where our minds want to be now.
You know, I wanted to mention here, because of what you're saying, Tino, that the Star Trek legend has it that in post-apocalyptic Earth in the mid-21st century, a lone inventor invents warp drive And that attracts, of course, the Vulcans by the Worf signature. Now,
yes. That's
Star Trek. But we have to realize now that we do have scientists, real scientists, who have been working on some kind of warp drive system. So it's not so far away from fiction. Star Trek was predicting things starting in the 1960s that we adopted. Of course, cellular phones, satellite phones, the iPad kind of came out of Star Trek Next Generation, but also 2001. And talking
That's
computers,
right.
All the other stuff. Not that they weren't envisioned in other science fiction concepts. I mean, the reason you have warp drive is not because it was a great invention to Gene Roddenberry and the people who created Star Trek. It was a way to get you to another planet more quickly to keep the action going. It was a plot device, not some kind of scientific presentation. I just hope we don't destroy ourselves further before we get things back together again. Randall, I'm sure you have a few comments to make before we talk to Tino about his background in UFO research.
I just wanted to, chime in there on this, like for both of you guys, because it seems like a lot of the time what we do is we tend to want to place our expectations and map them onto the aliens and alien visitation. But does technological advancement equate with societal maturity?
That's exactly right.
Well, there are plenty of ethical issues in the Star Trek universe with advanced races, especially the Klingons and the Romulans. And the aliens coming here seem to think it's okay to abduct humans and experiment on us. And if the reports are to be believed, even impregnating our females and taking their fetuses. So, I mean, really, are they really that much more evolved on a moral level, or are they just treating us like we would treat the wildlife?
Well, you see, that's a very interesting comment, because when we talk about aliens, we sort of talk about them as if they're one race. Now, there could be 5,000 different races of aliens, and each have developed differently. And although that we are technologically not as advanced as they are, and based on comments made by people that have been abducted and had contact, I think that we may be more spiritually advanced, in a sense, than they are. And that's what makes us intriguing to them. So, you know, like you can make one accidental discovery in the ground that would present you with a rock. And with that rock, you can create some kind of energy or power. Take uranium, for example.
With Tino and Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Florida has reported more than 10,000 new confirmed coronavirus cases and 90 additional deaths in the past 24 hours. Governor Ron DeSantis says 30,000 vials of remdesivir are being shipped there.
Our new case positivity has been relatively stable, probably a slight decline from 2 weeks ago.
Health officials are sounding alarms about another wave of COVID-19 in the fall. Infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci says we aren't finished with the first wave.
When you're having, you know, up to 70,000 new infections in certain areas of the country, that's something you need to focus on right now as opposed to looking ahead at what's going to happen in September or in October.
He's also calling on local leaders to be as forceful as possible in getting people to wear masks. This is USA Radio News. The Supreme Court has sped up the process of one of their rulings that's going into effect. USA Radio's Kenneth Burns has details.
The Supreme Court granted a request from the Manhattan District Attorney to expedite their ruling that rejected President Trump's claim of absolute immunity from a subpoena for 8 years of tax returns. Under normal circumstances, a Supreme Court decision takes about a month to go into effect, but now that ruling becomes effective immediately. The court has allowed Trump's lawyers to challenge the subpoena on other grounds. They have until close to the end of the month to do so. For USA Radio News, I'm Kenneth Burns.
Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has announced her cancer has returned and she's undergoing chemotherapy once again. She said a recent scan has revealed some lesions on her liver, but she's getting better. She says she's not taking any time off and it won't affect her job on the Supreme Court. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is me, the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
Tino Pezzamente, UFO researcher from Australia, joining us. And we're always happy to talk to people from other parts of the world to get a wider flavor of how this field is regarded and treated. And I kind of think every time we've had these conversations, UK and Australia and other places, they seem to be more enlightened than we are here in the U.S. You've just been complimented, Tino.
Well, thank you very much. Not that that's exactly true, but I'll take the compliment any day.
Well, let's pick up where we left off just prior to the break there. You were talking about, okay, so maybe we'll discover something like uranium that would give us some technological advantage. From there, you were going to say?
Well, I was going to say that we may not be ready to use that product, though it's been discovered accidentally. We may not be responsible enough, especially if it's discovered during a period of war, because then the priorities change. How can I use this to benefit society? No. How can I use this to benefit our side in the war? And so, again, we take a slightly different path. Imagine you're on a road, and every once in a while you get to splinters coming off that road, laneways coming off that road, four different directions. Every time you make a decision, you're slightly off your main direction. Then you make another one further up, and it goes on and on and on and on. Finding uranium during the middle of the Cold War, all the research and development went into creating weapons. I wonder if it was, situation was different, whether we would have been able to use that energy for something safe and good. You know, we can do that now, I suppose, but we've already gone off on a tangent with uranium, and most of the world hates it because of, you know, raid of Chernobyl, etc., things like that. So sometimes we make decisions because we've found something. Like, you can give a child a complicated toy. It's wonderful. It's got shining lights and bells. But the child doesn't really understand what that is. And in the end, he may find out there's not a toy after all, but something dangerous. So, you know, luck or even like other advanced species, what if instead of uranium, because uranium is just a rock, how they made energy out of that, you would never know, because you look at it and you think, oh, that's no good, especially if you were in the 1700s and you dug up uranium. It's just a rock. You throw it away. What if someone on another planet, with a planet developed slightly differently, they're able to dig up crystals? And to them, in the first 2,000 years of their existence, the crystal is just a very pretty rock that you can make rings out of. And what if 100 years or 300 years after that, they found out that that crystal, if manipulated a particular way, can create some kind of energy? So we don't know. Maybe there are rocks under our planet now waiting to be dug up that we can use to propel spaceships. Maybe not to warp energy, but maybe something better or less than that. So sometimes things happen by accident and our minds aren't able to follow up on the repercussions. And other times we might have things in front of us that are very valuable, but we can't see it.
Well, that is so true. And I think what you're saying there is that, you know, basically once the genie is out of the bottle, there's no putting it back in. Somebody is going to use it, whether they're mature or not. That's just the way that it goes. So maybe these aliens aren't so sophisticated or evolved as we would like to think that they are.
That's exactly what I was trying to say, because we measure advancement with the toys that we've got. And you may have a spiritual society that's far more advanced than they are, but you wouldn't know it from our perspective because we're looking at shiny objects, especially in this period that we're going through now. The shinier, flashier objects that you have in your house, the more advanced we are. And there'll be someone sitting on the hillside just looking over nature and saying, oh, how lucky I am, I've got all this in front of me. It's a strange measuring stick that we have to measure advancement.
But, of course, one of the messages we constantly seem to get from the contactees is that we do need to take better care of the planet.
Oh, we do. We do. But I think it's getting better because I've looked at some photos. I joined a group on Facebook, a history group, which shows you photographs of your city or town as it was, say, 100 years ago compared to today. Although they were black and white photos, you have to remember that. But it's much more pleasant. The suburbs, if you look at places like London and Liverpool, the suburbs are much better today than they were, say, 50, 60, 70 years ago. I think that we are starting to get a grip on that slowly. The world is still a very beautiful place. I think that sometimes I dare say this, but the media makes things a lot worse than they are. The doom and gloom seems to make the headlines. The good stories don't. Yeah, like deforestation, very bad. But reforestation, you never talk about in schools. So the children leave those schools thinking only that we're destroying things and not fixing things. So there are balances out there. And I think that we need to be a little bit more open-minded than we are and look at things when they're presented to us. And we can make decisions as a society as to which direction we can go.
Let me ask you here, the main question, of course, is we're thinking about how we look to possible ETs visiting us. And the big question would be here is, obviously, if UFOs are extraterrestrial, they hold the cards. Nothing that we could possibly do would hasten the final revelation because the ball is in their court. They can decide whether or not to stay here. They can decide whether or not we're worth contacting on a more regular basis. But, of course, the conspiracy theories, and we'll get into more of this in our next segment. We have a couple of minutes before we have to break. The conspiracy theory has it that ET has already contacted governments, and they're all working together to make sure humanity is ready. So the question would be here, other than our tribal warfare and behavior and everything, can humanity in general accept a mass landing by beings from another planet?
My answer to that is no. Very simply, no. Without mentioning religions and that, we live in a society that if you say the wrong thing about a particular religion, it could cost you your life. To tell millions of people that life was created elsewhere, not only on this planet, is already going against some of the major religions of the world. And I'm just putting religion as an example now. So you disenfranchise so many people just by mentioning that aliens have been created on another planet, another solar system somewhere. So that's why I believe we're still far from that.
But I'm going to ask you here before we continue with this discussion. I think people want to know more about you, Tino. And like I said, we have about a minute to go before we break. What got you started chasing the flying saucers?
A simple light in the sky. That's all that did it for me. I was driving with some friends. We saw a light coming towards us, and then it disappeared. But two of us think that the light went off into the horizon, and two of us think that it just blinked out. But it was fascinating. It came up really close and just disappeared. Nothing more than that. Very simple. However, the next morning I rang the local airport to find out whether there was any planes in the area, because there were curfews back in those days. And they said, no, there wasn't any planes. So in making that phone call, I became a researcher and it stuck ever since. So I haven't had any particularly spectacular UFO sightings, but other things in my life, I think, led me to have an open mind, a curious mind. And so I think everything is worth researching. Everything is possible until you can dismiss it. And believe me, I like dismissing things because I'm a little bit of a skeptical believer. I will ask questions and try to get to a normal earthly reason for everything. Only then, if I can't find it, do I go to the next level and think, well, this could be paranormal or out of this world.
This is an out-of-this-world announcement with Tino, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
I'm here with Scott Yusium, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, so it was just a light in the sky, but you're telling me there are other things there. Were they paranormal experiences or what?
Yesterday I would call them paranormal experiences. When I was 6 years old, at the time, I didn't think anything of it. I think it was just normal day-to-day events happening in my home. But looking back at a particular age, when I think I was about 14, we looked back on the events, and then I realized then that it was not normal. They were unusual. And it's got to do not so much with UFOs, but with ghosts. And I use that word. A lot of people don't like using the word ghosts anymore. But I'm an old-fashioned type of guy. I like using the language that I grew up with because it meant exactly that. It was a ghost.
That's pretty interesting. Just before we go on with that, though, I'd like to just return to this sighting that you had about of this light. Now, was this a daylight or a nighttime sighting?
It was around midnight, and my mate had just gotten his driver's license, so we thought we'd go for a drive. And there's a place on a hill here in Brisbane where I'm situated that a lot of the boys from school and that, or after school, used to bring their girlfriends, you know, like Blueberry sure. Hill on Happy Days. So we thought, okay, let's go up there and have a drive up that way and we'll see who we can catch out. And we went up there. There's nobody there, of course. And there's four of us in the car. And so we stopped at the very top of this hill. Next thing, this little light appeared and it was brighter than all the other stars. And it just seemed to be getting bigger and bigger and bigger until we thought, oh, this is coming straight for us. And no one spoke. Everyone just sat there in silence, bewildered by this object. It just whoosh. I believe it took off at a 90-degree turn and flew over the horizon in a speed that if I would have followed it with my eyes, I probably would have hurt my neck.
Were you guys all still inside the car then when this happened, or had you gotten out?
No, inside the car, engine still running. It just caught our attention very quickly.
Right, and so what about its movements in your mind sort of rule out a mundane explanation?
Okay, well, it was 1979, so there's no craft that I know, especially would fly over a city, that would be that fast and have that speed and no sonic boom. There was an airport curfew. 11 p.m. till 6 a.m., I think, there were no flights allowed in or out of Brisbane because of jets were a lot noisier back in those days, and they had curfews to for the citizens of that city to be able to get some sleep. Yeah, the way it approached us, the brightness, it's really hard to explain because it was like a white light, but it was not like any a spotlight or a plane or a headlight or anything like that. It was just this pure, huge light. And then it took off so fast that it almost left a trail of light, if you know what I mean, almost like a comet's trail, but
I know exactly what you mean because I've seen something very similar to that. Okay, so from knowing how aircraft work and watching how this object maneuvered, you think it's safe to rule out pretty much any sort of terrestrial aircraft, and by the sound of it, I would tend to agree. So, okay. And a nocturnal light, those are very common sightings. They were one of the largest sightings in the Project Blue Book investigations, and even with QFOs, they're still the largest percentage. Someone might say ball lightning. Was it a stormy night or anything like that?
No, perfectly clear. And even with ball lightning tends to move along actually very slowly and make a crackling noise, and you can see it within a very close proximity. Well, this would have come from the back of the mountains that I could see. So the mountains would have been probably about, say, 50 kilometers away. So that's nearly, say, 80 miles, or the other way around. I'm not sure there, but say 50, even if you say it's 50 miles away, the mountain range. From that mountain range to us, it probably took a matter of about 5 seconds.
Oh, wow, that's pretty bad.
It was just coming in from a speck of light like a star till this. If you hold up a small coin or the back of your pen, if you hold up your pen, the little part of the back of your pen, if you hold that up, it's slightly larger than that from a point in the sky in 5 seconds and then disappeared at a right angle without slowing down.
Wow, and then so when it was at its closest, how big was it? Like, say, like a 50-cent piece, or
I'd say the size of a pea for a vegetable, because even the size of a 50-cent piece, that's pretty big.
Yeah, that would be large.
It didn't get to be that close, but it took off. But I think that the way it was coming straight for us, and then took off, I thought maybe a car headlight being on a hill, it would have seen the headlights and just came close and then took off. I don't know the motors of it, obviously, but it got fairly close.
So how old were you then when that happened?
19,
okay. And you're 16 plus now, right?
I was 17, sorry, at the time, 17. And now I'm about to reach 60 in about 3 weeks' time.
And still no explanation for that. But then, according to some of your background, you also became involved in the paranormal. And just before I asked you about the details on your UFO sighting, you were telling us about how you were encountering what you believe to be ghosts around the age of 6 in your home.
Yes. Now, I can cut a very long, long story short. And in doing so, I may take away a lot of the little moments that could make people believe the story, But, however, basically, in a nutshell, we lived in a house. I was 6 years old. My brother was 4. And we were encountering things that... Now, we came from a Catholic background. So, we've got to keep that in mind, because my mother would pray a lot and things would happen. She would have very little sleep in that house. And we would always have problems with what we thought were cats. If you understand, in Queensland, we have unique architecture of our homes, especially the old houses. They're built up on what we call stumps or poles. So you've got downstairs where you can park your car underneath and nothing more. And then the house from that, say, 2.5-3 meters or yards high, the house is. And that's to give ventilation around the house in a warm climate. And so we had this sort of area where we'd park our car downstairs, and we heard these cats all the time. So my father would, being an Italian builder, he was good with his hands, he would go around and use blocks and encase the house, the bottom of the house, to make it animal proof and make it more secure. And he did so. We could still hear these cats every once in a while. And one day my dad went downstairs because he heard the cats. He had a broom. He wanted to get rid of them, you know, shoo them away. And he heard them on the other side of the wall. He goes, oh, that's strange. So he went out the door, back around the other side. Now he could still hear them, but this time he heard them from inside the house. So he went back inside the house. Then he heard them from there. And it went on for a while. And, you know, we had a neighbor come by one day and said, he talked to my dad. He said, oh, it was very sad what happened in your house back then. And my father says, what happened? I don't know anything about it. He goes, oh, he said two young little girls had locked themselves up in one of those old refrigerators with the handles. They were playing hide and seek. And they suffocated to death in this old refrigerator. And then the penny dropped. And what we were hearing was not cats meowing, but two little girls crying. But what happened was the things that used to happen in the house, things would go missing. We'd have a huge noise on our roof. We have what they call corrugated iron roofs here, tin roofs. And so we heard this huge bang on the roof. My father got a ladder one night, climbed up, and he found the rock. And the rock was possibly the size, say, of a laptop. And a rock that high, that big, if it was a meteor, would completely destroy the house. However, there was not even a mark on the tin roof, but woke up all the neighbors. And my father struggled to get that off the roof. There was no high point where anyone could throw it on there. So then we had pets that would go crazy at a particular time of night at 8:30. And we found out that was the time that these two girls died. And there were more. There were many other things that used to happen. I'd go to school the next day and the kids would say, oh, what did you do over the weekend? Or nothing much. And we said, oh, we just had the priest come over and bless the house again, thinking that was something normal. And of course, you found out later that was my mother.
Tino Pesamente with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, Peter Picaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.